Well, hello and welcome to the Troy and Michael Speak podcast, where we explore our world as humans through the eyes of an entity we call Michael, who teaches from what is referred to as the causal plane. The Michael teachings is an ever-growing body of knowledge shared from this entity, Michael, through various channels around the world, offering us tools for understanding, nurturing, and building our personal universe. To learn more about the Michael teachings and Troy, please register at truthloveenergy.com and check out the quick intro and the basic intro so you can better enjoy the show. So sit back, relax, invite your higher self in for the ride, and let's have a great show. On today's episode, we will be talking about the art of surrender. Today we start including live channeling in these pre-recorded podcasts. Yay! It looks like this will be a part of at least one of the two pre-recorded shows I'll be creating for you during each month. That's because I have a local group here in New York City who meets monthly for fun times together and wonderful exchanges with Michael. And now that it's on the calendar and we are regularly committed, we should be able to get at least one of those, one of the pre-recorded shows out, including that gathering, because we're going to record each one. So we might as well share them with you. Just because you don't live in New York City doesn't mean you can't be a part of the fun. So the recording included in this episode is from January 12, 2008, and it's on the topic of surrender. So what you are about to hear is my channeling for the group, along with lovely audio cameos from outside street noises and Cypress's dog barking downstairs as he wards off all the Christians who stalk the neighborhood for more prey. They're always on the prowl to recruit those Christians. Several people were interested in what Michael had to say about those times in life when it just seems way overwhelming and out of our control and that we have no power over. And I've been there and everybody knows it, and I'm sure you have too. So we decided to go ahead and explore that topic of surrender. And as usual, Michael breaks it all down into these wonderful, easy to digest concepts that they just seem to bring out an empowerment within us that we realize was actually never lost, but kind of just forgotten. And Michael's words just seem to offer this vocabulary that just basically helps us break out of that amnesia. So what does it mean to surrender? Why is surrender something we even need to consider as we navigate through our lives? And how much control do we have in our lives? And who is in control? So let's listen in and see what was said about this subject during the session.
We understand that the subject asked about is the topic of surrender. And aptly described or put as a title, The Art of Surrender by Troy. The reason we say that this is apt is because truly the experience of surrender does come from a skill that could be described as an art. It is not something that naturally comes without some form of development of consciousness. As you gain skills in choosing throughout a lifetime, making choices, this skill turns into an art that can include the choice for surrender when necessary. One of the ways that you can look at surrender and differentiate between when you are surrendering in a positive way and when you are surrendering in a negative way might be to consider the positive direction to be described as a form of trust. When looking at surrender from the angle of trust, we use this word because trust is based on experience. It is gained through previous choices. And while you may not know all of the circumstances that are components of a situation that has come up, trust pulls on experience from the past, even if it's only rooted in the reality that you will ultimately be okay, because you have always been okay in the past. And therefore, you can pull on that trust from experience. A negative way of experiencing surrender would be through resignation. This would be the moment that you feel as if you have had to give up, that you have surrendered your power in the situation rather than redirecting it. Trust would be a form of redirecting your power. We thought that one way for you to explore this subject would be in looking at the areas of life that you have no control over. Knowing these particular areas can help you in defining when to pull out your skills for choosing surrender, to trust. Knowing that these areas you have no control over can help you keep your consciousness in those moments rather than feeling as if it is being obliterated by the circumstances. When we say that you have no control over these areas, we are not saying that you don't have control within these areas. And by this we mean that you can still navigate within these particular areas, but you cannot necessarily control them. What we will start with is the area that we would describe as the elements. You have no control over two primary elements in your existence. These would be time and space. In the area of space, this would include natural disasters, anything that is an upheaval in your natural environment, in your world, in your space. Now, as we said, and keep this in mind as we go through these, you will have control to a certain extent within these areas, but you may not be able to keep a volcano from erupting, for instance. Time is another area that you do not have control over. The experience of time you may have control to a certain extent, but time will pass, or at least the experience of time passing will occur regardless of how much control you have within it. You can manage time, you can manage yourself within that framework, but you will not be able to literally stop it. Another area that may come as some surprise to you would be the area of desire. You have no true control over this area in this context that we will describe as desire. By this we mean that you're designed as a part of the universe inherently to have aspects of you that want and aspects of you that need. You will always have needs. You will always have wants. There is no true control over those particular things other than within those categories. You can pretty much have anything you want, but not everything you want. And you will always have something that you want. Becoming conscious of those wants can help you to navigate more accurately, but you will not be able to avoid the experience of want. The same with needs. You will not be able to remove yourself from the experience of having need. You will need certain things in order to survive. You will need certain things in order to grow. Another area that we will describe that you have no control over is existence. No matter how hard you try, you will not be able to not exist. This may seem very broad and vague in the scheme of things, but if you break this down into your existence being the fact that you are observed, there will always be an observer at some point, from some angle. In other words, you will never be able to control how others see you, and you will never not be able to see yourself, to observe yourself. In some way or another, you will always be observed, internally or externally. You will not be able to control or rather escape those areas. And of course, a final area that we would describe that you cannot escape or have control over would be change. Everything changes, everything evolves. In some way, everything that you know is not static. There is absolutely no way to keep change from happening. You can stall it, you can direct it to some extent, but everything will change. Now, in looking at all of these areas, those four areas that we broke down into seven areas, you may have already made the connection to the fact that these relate to the seven chief negative features. This is because the chief negative features describe areas over which you cannot truly protect yourselves. And we designed the chief negative feature part of our overleaf system to describe those areas in which that you constantly try to control or protect yourself from that is unnecessary for the most part to do so. they are very specific, and we put this together specifically because these are primary areas of life over which you cannot truly control. You can only direct yourself within them and learn how to navigate within them, but not necessarily protect yourself from, escape from, or control. Understanding this and looking at your own overleaves can help you see where you may try or where you may have the most difficulties in your life when it comes to surrender. In other words, obviously, if you have impatience and martyrdom, you may have very difficult times in your life in regards to surrendering to the primary elements of time and space. Trusting those elements, in other words. Desire would relate to greed and self-destruction. Existence to self-deprecation and arrogance, and change, of course, to stubbornness. Everything else outside of those areas that we just described, you have control over. There is a very big difference between having control over and control within. Also, we will point out that certain aspects of you will have more control than other aspects. In other words, what essence has control over is very different from what personality may have control over. Understanding those differences can help as well. We would suggest that you consider the areas in which we just described, where you have no control over. We are speaking specifically in terms of personality. Essence does not necessarily have control over those areas either, but they have greater control within them than possibly your personality. Unless you are of a rare design that your choices have led you to act as true personality, which would mean living as essence and manifesting a great deal of the same that your essence would on its own. But even in those cases, there is still a broader amount of control that essence may have than even the true personality.
Well, that was what Michael had to say about surrender as channeled through me for the group. And what I'd like to do is discuss it further after the break and include some excerpts from the rest of the session. But take a little break and ponder what was just brought to you. know you're not safe at all. Well, for all we know, not safe at all. Good God. I thought that was appropriate to play as we explore what we have control over and what we have control within. Somebody at the session posed the question. I think it came from Nick, my lovely, lovely fellow Cadence member, another sage, asked the question, how much control does Essence truly have over the lifetime? Or exactly what is it that the Essence has control over as opposed to personality? And while the answer wasn't really that specific as I would like for it to be, here's what Michael had to say.
Essence has control, or the choice to control, over everything that personality exists within. In other words, Essence can control all of the various factors that go into creating a life, has control over all the various factors that come from living the life and exiting the life. And to list everything that Essence has control over would be too vast for the limited time here. But the irony is that Essence quite often does not choose to control a lot once the personality has been born. Although there will be different versions of the personality that we would describe as parallels, wherein at least one personality will intend to get along with Essence and allow Essence to manifest in the lifetime in the way that was intended. But personality will always have the capability of overriding Essence's control or creativity, simply because that is the point of being alive, and Essence knows this. If a personality asks for help from Essence, Essence is much more likely to be able to come in and offer an energy or a manipulation or a direction within those areas that you feel you do not have control. In other words, if there were a natural disaster obliterating everything that you found to be familiar in your life, calling on Essence for support, for direction, is a valid call. And while we don't encourage seeing yourself as something separate from Essence, or that we imply that Essence is in some way able to rescue you, it is still valid to call out to that higher part of you, or that broader part of you, for perspective in the experience so that you can make better choices. And we say better in terms of what we see as being usually of greater interest to a personality, which is to feel good and feel safe and so on. Calling out to Essence for that is valid. But while it still has greater control than the personality, it still cannot obliterate itself, for instance, in terms of existence. It cannot make a volcano erupt in terms of the elements, the area of elements. And Essence has its own needs and wants as well. So it's just a different context of control.
So that's what Michael had to say about Essence's participation in the lifetime as far as control over and control within. And like I said, I wish it was a lot more specific, but I think as a channel I misheard the question or something. And Michael did the best they could to answer based on what was conveyed to them. But it was still really interesting. What I got from that was that pretty much Michael was saying that that Essence has control over when you are born, and certain parts of the life, depending on how much how much personality asks for help, and has control over the death, the exiting of the lifetime. And beyond that, our essences choose not to exert a lot of control because it's pretty exciting to see what personality decides to do. And that was pretty much the point of being alive. So I kind of liked that. But they go on in the session to comment on how based on your chief negative feature, if you look to what is on the same axis as your chief negative feature, you will see where your greatest strength would be in being able to choose surrender. And they gave the example of, let's say, somebody having a chief negative feature of self-deprecation or arrogance, but also being emotionally centered. Well, the emotional center is on the same axis as the chief negative features of arrogance and self-deprecation. So they went on to say that one of the greatest ways for that particular kind of person to find the strength to surrender would be in gaining perception by using the emotional center. The positive pole of the emotional center is perception, which means basically seeing past what's obvious and what seems to be apparent and truly seeing. It means, you know, bypassing the intellectual analysis and grasping the truth of the situation, of the perception, through perception. And that would help a person be able to surrender when it's necessary. They didn't give any other examples, but I found that to be really interesting. And I guess you could take that and, you know, carry it forth for your profile if you know what it is. If you don't, make sure you check out truthloveenergy.com and read the basic intro and try to figure it out for yourself what your profile is, your essence of personality profile, or you can order one. They also went on to comment about how if you don't have any overleaves on an axis of one of your chief negative features, like let's say you have impatience and martyrdom, but you have no other action overleaves, then Michael says you've set up a particularly challenging lifetime for choosing surrender, and that's specific to you and your lifetime. But they did say that people who don't have other overleaves in alignment with their chief negative feature, that most will tend to jump back to the goal, whatever your goal is for the lifetime. And by having conscious awareness of your goal for the lifetime in those instances where there's, you know, difficulty and overwhelm, and where surrender is a necessary option, it seems like your goal is the part of you that remembers why you are alive in the first place and why you are going through what you are going through, or at least helps to create some kind of meaning for what you're going through to help you surrender. So they gave the example of having the goal of acceptance and remembering that, let's say you have impatience and martyrdom, that whatever you're going through in terms of turmoil over time or space, that you remember that your goal is to learn how to accept. Your goal is to extract from experiences higher ways of accepting. And that might not bring a lot of peace, but it can certainly help, you know, bring back a focus so you can get through the situations that are difficult. Michael went on then to ask people for feedback or questions in relation to surrender and any experiences they might have had. And Cyprus went on to ask this question.
I have a combo question story. So just something sort of dorky that happened to me today, where I didn't plan my day very well. I have impatience and martyrdom as my chief negative features, and I do not have any overleaves in me in that access. So by what you said earlier, then I would have to go to acceptance, which is my goal. Is that correct? Do I have that?
Yes.
Pattern down? Okay. So I went to run a couple errands, and one errand was to have something done where I had to wait for other people, which is usually very stressful, and it was on time constraints because we're having a little event this afternoon, and it didn't go very well for me. I didn't get what I wanted done. And I was really irritated about the whole thing. And I felt like I didn't surrender to it. I felt like I was forced into surrendering to it. Now, with the information that you've given us already, so if I would have just accepted that clearly I didn't make the best choices of time usage earlier in the day, well, at least I think I have the concept of what it's supposed to be. If I would just be more accepting of the fact that, well, this is kind of how the day went, and just be okay with it instead of being irritated that I didn't get all the things I wanted done in the amount of time I wanted, then that would have been surrendering to it. Do I have the concept right?
You are starting to, yes.
The edge.
We will first go back to the chief negative features and how that started in the first place. Whatever you emphasize will become amplified. So once you have started down the road of, for lack of a better word, the vibration that would be described as the chief negative features, you will begin to amplify that in your environment. It will bring it out so that as you are becoming more and more impatient, you will have more and more things become more obvious that are trying your patience. There will become more of a restricted sense of time. And so the more that you play into or succumb to the energies that are described as the chief negative features, the more you will see it around you, the more it will be coming from you or coming to you. In moving to your goal as a way of bringing your consciousness to a different place, you will have, instead of seeing this as an opportunity for your being victimized, you will see it as an opportunity for the choice to accept, to bring love to the situation, or agape, the positive pole. So it is not necessarily going to magically make your appointments work better, but it will bring you a different focus within the context that is already in existence, which in this case would be poor management of time can either upset you and prove to you that you are a victim of these particular things, or bring to your consciousness the opportunity for acceptance of those elements that went into all that came about, which would be, I spent my day in a way that these results couldn't have come about unless everything was in alignment, such as other people's choices fitting mine, fitting my schedule. Do you understand?
Yes.
Also, putting yourself, keeping the context of the fact that you are in a world where other people's choices are to be considered as a part of the elements of your day, and counting on them can be counted on to some extent, but you can't control them. And so letting that, all of that come together as an opportunity for acceptance simply shifts the energy. It shifts the experience. It doesn't necessarily make it go away, as we've described earlier. It will not change necessarily that all of the elements involved, but it will change your focus of consciousness so that you can make choices from there. For instance, once you realize that you are not going to have time to do all the things that you wanted to do, and you bring your consciousness to a place of acceptance where you don't blame the other people involved, you do not blame the rest of the obligations of the day, you simply realize that all of these choices you made led up to that, and that it was okay, and you will survive, and find your footing again.
Yeah, surprisingly, I didn't get mad in the situation. Like, when I was sitting there waiting, I was totally aware of all the other people, and, you know, there's no reason for me to get to go first, and, I totally had this really calm sense. I got irritated later when it was over, which is kind of strange. Usually I would think I would get irritated in the situation, but I get irritated later when I thought about it. I was more annoyed with myself, I guess. So is that the point? Because I did kind of get kind of irritated with myself.
Yes, these chief negative features can work in all kinds of different ways, and in quite often it's in retrospect that you start to bring that energy up as a, turning it a simple neutral situation into an opportunity for chief negative feature to manifest. One of the easy ways, and we say that word in quotes, that phrase in quotes, for getting out of being responsible for owning the energy that is your chief negative features, is to blame. So once you are out of the situation, then you are on high alert for what to blame, for what led you to be in that circumstance in the first place. And if that blame is turned inward, then so be it. You may be the one that's closest or easiest to target. But it can also be blamed on other things, and we imagine that most of you will cover the spectrum from internal to external when succumbing to the chief negative features.
Well, Michael has such a very pleasant way of saying, get your shit together, stop blaming everybody else. Don't even blame yourself. Just get your shit together. Actually, I really like the idea of using our goals as a way to kind of bring some perspective back to why we're in the experiences that we're in the first place. Even the ones that we think are so difficult and kind of push us to surrender or encourage us to choose surrender. I like looking at those situations as an opportunity instead of as an imposition. So that's really, really nice, interesting way of looking at it. And I can definitely see why it's considered an art or a skill to go in that direction. My God, I'd like to hear from all of you about how easy or difficult it is for you to do those things. See it as opportunities instead of impositions. Well, the next question was really interesting from Matthew. So let's hear what he had to say.
Many other teachers equate surrender to simply not resisting. And I'm assuming this is exactly what you're talking about when you speak of trust, the state of not resisting anything. And I guess I'm curious to take more, say, emotional experience. Say you have, say, childhood issues, and you spend much of the days, all through the days, you know, avoiding being triggered in certain ways. Many of us build our lives around such things. So I'm wondering how the art of surrender can apply to something like that in your perspective.
First, we wouldn't go so far as to say, or at least we would say it with qualification, that the art of surrender is not necessarily all about no resistance. We would consider it to be more about a conscious redirection. Just to clarify how we, at least through this channel, would describe how surrender works. In your case, with the example of processing issues of violation or assault or wounding in general, the surrender would come from the fact that your choices are being affected to some degree by those experiences. The surrender wouldn't be in saying, well, then I must expose myself to all of these triggers because they come so naturally around me. That's not necessarily where the surrender would be in this case. The surrender would be in the case that life happens around me and a lot of it is going to trigger these things. And the art of surrender in this case would be to the fact that you must navigate consciously and gingerly and fragilely through those obstacles that may trigger based on past experiences. It does not mean giving into those particular triggers, but rather acknowledging that they are triggers and acknowledging that your navigation at this point will be based on navigating through and around those particular triggers until you have a greater amount of healing under your belt, so to speak, before taking on those triggers without them being triggers. In the same way that any person would get out of a situation where there is a great amount of debris, you wouldn't expect a person to sit in the middle of a collapsed building or a collapsing building or the aftermath of an explosion and take the most dangerous route out. The individual would find and carefully find the way through that rubble, through that debris. And the same could be said in terms of emotional worlds. Sometimes there are explosions, impacts, natural disasters, or not natural, that affect your emotional world. And you must as carefully maneuver your way through that as you would through the rubble of a building.
Wow. Now, I know that's my channeling and stuff, and so it's really kind of unfair to comment about it, but that really touched my heart hearing that. A long time ago, Michael said one of the most powerful quotes I've ever kept with me over the years when I was dealing with abusive relationships and trying to figure out why I was in them and what it meant about me and what I should do about it. And one of the things, or the thing that Michael said was, you don't have to stay in a burning house to learn how to love it. And that stuck with me and changed my life, because from that point on, I realized that it didn't mean that, for me to learn how to love did mean having to hurt myself in the process. And I guess it goes kind of ties in with what Michael just said to Matthew, that when we're wounded and we're tender and we're moving through a life, part of surrender is realizing that's the way it is and working our way in and around all those triggers and obstacles that might be painful to us until we feel safe enough and healed enough to take on bigger challenges and face those triggers if we ever choose to at all. So I really like the idea that we're not trapped by these things, but that we just have to learn more skillful, artful ways of maneuvering through the life. So in light of that, considering we're coming near the end of the hour, I'll go ahead and move us into a beautiful little track called Storm. And it's a beautiful song about how it's not always necessary to remove yourself from all the troubles that you have, because sometimes those storms are exactly what we needed.
And the rain, you never undo.
listen, guys, this is Troy, and I'm going to wrap things up here and leave you with this wonderful little song to end another wonderful episode of Troy and Michael Speak, made possible by beautiful, sparkly, glistening souls like you, listening in and offering support and receiving these so well. If you have any questions, send an email to podcast@truthloveenergy.com, and I'll see if I can help. And if you feel so inclined, please pop over to truthloveenergy.com and offer a donation. Help keep me fed. And just remember, don't just surrender to the obstacles in life, surrender to the joy.